Remember that song? War. Boom. What is it? Absolutely nothing. Oh. You know, the world is so close, but so far. Let's just open up. I just want to pray for a minute. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your word, the entrance of your word, gives light. We thank you, Lord, for your word today, that you're going to bring the word and infuse it with our souls, the engrafted word which is able to save our souls, deliver our souls from confusion, from anger, from attitudes, and the things that that the devil likes to use to deflect the power of your truth in us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that as we look in your word, your divine power has given us exceeding great and precious promises that by these we become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We thank you, Father, that you are in your word because the word is you. And it represents everything that you are, your power, your glory, your strength. And you have given your word to us. And we thank you, Father, for the power and the life and the strength and all the properties of washing and cleansing and the power of your word, the creative power of your word. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening us. Thank you, Lord, that by being doers of the word, we activate your covenant. Thank you for making it so simple for us. Thank you, Lord. We receive the simple power of your word this morning. In Jesus' name. Let's get right to our weekly confession. How's that? Ready? This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. You know, the Bible is God speaking to you. When you read the word, it's accomplishing something in you. Somebody put it this way once. He said, when you read the word, it's reading you. It is. It's not leaving you alone. It's accomplishing something in you that's bigger and better and greater than anything that you can think in your heart. Praise God. Oh, there. Let me get on that for a minute. There's a cleansing power in the Word of God. Do you know that? Yes. When you read the Word, Ephesians 5 and verse 26, it says that God sanctifies us and cleanses us by the washing of the water by the Word. There it is. He might sanctify and cleanse us. He's talking about the church. And it is so intimate here. The washing of the, it is so tender. Because in this context, in Ephesians 5, he's talking about marriage. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave it gave himself for it that he might sanctify it. You. That he might sanctify and cleanse you with the washing of the water by the word. You know, Jesus said at the Last Supper, I believe it's John 13, he said, now you are clean. No, it's John 15. He said, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. Just hearing the word. You know, if you want a cleansing, this is what I do sometimes. You know what I'll do? I'll go into my logbook that has a table of contents of all the words of the week, 2016, 2017, and I'll just start reading the titles. They're not actually scripture, but they are scriptural. And they are God-breathed. And so just reading those titles, man, the Holy Spirit just starts just popping. It's just like popcorn. New things come. Revelation comes. The Bible, the Word of God, has a cleansing power. You know why that is? Because ever since Jesus became a man and walked as a man with the Father's blood in his veins, the blood of Jesus and the Word of God have the same DNA. In fact, where one leaves off, you can't tell where one leaves off and the other. They are so intertwined and connected that when you hear the Word of God, there's a cleansing. There's power in the Word of God to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that. You know, and that's why James 1, 22 says this, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Why does he want us to be doers of the word? When you do what the word of God says, you activate the blood, the cleansing of the blood. You activate blood covenant benefits and blessings, and revelation starts to come to you how to apply it, how to walk in it. You say, give me an example. You don't need an example. What you need to do is do the word. And let God set your expectations. Don't base your expectations on my testimony or anybody else's testimony. God is establishing a testimony in you when you do the word. When you are doers of the word, and it'll also do this. It'll build you up to a place where you're not only, it doesn't only eliminate the deception of the devil, it eliminates a lot of self-deception here. It says you're deceiving your own self when you don't do the word. Why is that? Well, because you hear it and you think you know it, and so you think you're okay because you just heard it and you know it. But you haven't done it, so you haven't really connected. There hasn't been that intercourse with the Word of God, that connection. He's talking about some intimate things here with God. God wants that intimacy with you. He wants to get that word in your heart. He wants you to know him. He wants you to love him. He wants you to be devoted to him. Why? Because then you meet the devotion that he has for you. He's put it all on the line. Jesus died for you. I mean, how many of you have sons? It's a lot of you. Would you be willing to put your son through what the Father put Jesus through for the likes of you? That's how much the Father loves you. And that's how much he believed in your son, and in his son. And when his son is living in you, you can't be stopped. You can't be stopped. Boy, that should have, thank you for that thunderous silence. Amen. Praise God. When you wake up in the morning, you go, whoa, look out, devil. Hey, I'm something because God made me something. You know, you're worth something. You are worth something to God. If the Word of God that created the entire universe and the blood of Jesus are so mixed together, and the blood cleansed you, and that is sealed a covenant on your behalf, believe me. Are you getting this? Man, if that doesn't light your wood's wet. It just really, you got to understand something here. Okay. All right, you got the point. Be doers of the word. The DNA of the word. See, and here's the thing. Remember when Jesus said, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed, and you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you continue in his word, what happens? You are activating covenant realities. New creation realities are being activated in you. The Holy Spirit begins to speak to you and to show you, guide you into all truth, show you things to come, and to build you up and to strengthen you in a way that no amount of psychology or self-discipline or anything, all that stuff is crud. It gets in the way of you receiving everything, the pure stuff of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
Don't get offended on the word crud. You use it. Amen. If you continue and continue and continue and continue and continue in the Word, you will know that you know that you know. You will know the truth, and the truth, the Word of God. Jesus said, "Thy Word is truth." He said that in John 17, 17. He said, "Thy Word is truth." The Word and truth are the same thing. If you continue in my Word, then you'll know everything that's in that Word. What is the Word? The Word is God. The Word is the heart of God. The Word is the mind of God. You have the mind of Christ, and all these things go so much together. Amen. That you have so much at your disposal. And it's all at your disposal, what you decide to do with it. If you want to miss out on it, you can miss out on it. If you want it all, you can have it all. God is not stopping you. Oh, say that. God's not stopping me. Gee. Well, I just finished my sermon, so good night. You see why the devil hates the Word of God so much? Because the Word of God liberates us. Jesus came to liberate the human soul and to recreate the human spirit. He came to give you freedom. And the devil likes you in bondage. He needs you in bondage. You see how he rules the world? He doesn't have to rule the whole world and everybody in it. All he has to do is rule a Hitler or a Stalin or a Mussolini or a Saddam Hussein. All he has to do is rule them, and then all the people are ruled through them. That's how he rules the world. He's too lazy to rule you. When you read through Proverbs and you see diligence, that's Jesus. When you see slothfulness, that's the devil. It's his attribute. So, how did I get off on that? Where am I going with this? But you see, that's what he does. And in order for you to get confused of what, right and wrong, what he did, he set up religions, world religions. And world religions, every religion can give you a lesson. Every religion can give you fortune cookie wisdom. Every religion can give you the outhouse professor's philosophy. Remember we used to, outhouse professors? At work, they'll tell you everything about everything, and they know everything, and there's nothing they need to know. You know, that's what religion gives you. But life can only come through Jesus Christ. Life. And once you get that life in you, you want to kick out the stained glass of man's religion and just get out of here and just be liberated in your spirit. This is why he sets up these people in certain places, in governments and so forth. Stalin killed, 20 some odd million of his people? Hitler killed 6 million Jews and a bunch of clergy and Christians and Jehovah's Witnesses even. He just wanted to make sure he got everybody that believed in something else other than him. The governments, they want you to believe in them. And you have a choice. You can do that. There's free choice. But if you believe God, nothing can stop you. Amen? Yeah. The Bible, the gospel of Christ, shows you how much God has done for the human race. It shows you his love, and that love, it compelled him to get you a savior, to get his son into this earth, to get into that body so that he could pay this price for your sins. I want to talk about the life of God this morning. The life of God, because that's the real you. Are you with me this morning? The real you, that's your spirit, man. That's the real you. Your spirit is housed in a soul, and your soul is clothed in a body. You are a triune being, three in one. You are spirit, soul, and body. God is a triune being. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the way we know him. But God, Jesus said in John chapter 4, God is a spirit. You are a spirit, and you were created in his image. And when you were born again, you were recreated in his likeness. Everything that Adam had in his spirit, you got in your spirit, because what Jesus did is even better than Adam had. Praise God. If you don't agree with that, you have that right. I'm going to believe that because I got something better than the original model. Amen. That's the real you. When I say the real you, that's your spirit man I'm talking to. How many of you know the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? That's four, five, six. The rich man and Lazarus, the beggar, Lazarus, was filled with sores and the dogs would come and lick his wounds and stuff. And the rich man gave him crumbs from his table and so forth. And it came to pass that that Lazarus died, the beggar. And the rich man also died, and they were buried, the Bible says. And it says, the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell and saw Lazarus over in Abraham's bosom. And he said, Abraham, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over here to dip his finger in water so he can cool my tongue. He said, I can't do that. There's a gulf here fixed. We can't get, even if I wanted to, I couldn't get anybody over there to you. You're separated forever. And just listening to these guys, let's see. He's talking, he's hearing, he's looking. He said, he has a finger, get Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. He has a tongue. But you would think they're still in their bodies, but they're not. They're in. One's in paradise and the other is in Gehenna, in hell. What is he talking about here? He's showing something, that your spirit man looks just like you. That may not be an encouragement to some of us, but you can only go by the world standard here, because what's yet to be revealed to you in your new creation, when you explode into heaven on that day, that's what death is. Man, it's a graduation day. Yeah. When you explode into heaven. And your spiritual senses come alive. For the first time, you really are connected in that. And you're going to see something that you never saw before, who you really are. But you can see it by faith now through the Word. Here. Did you get anything out of that? Because where you walk, he walks. Because he has arms and legs. He's a spirit. Jesus is a spirit. Praise God, he's a resurrected Christ. He's anointed to heal and to restore your soul.
Yes.
He's the good shepherd.
Amen.
Praise God. And so where you walk, he walks.
Amen.
What he's trying to do is he says, you know my voice, you hear my, I lead you and you follow me. So he wants really you to follow him.
Amen.
But when you follow him, he's walking and living and breathing, and he is directing and guiding. He is protecting. He's giving you the life that none of us here deserve. But it's available here in the earth. This is the real you. And if you're born again, you will explode into heaven on that day. If you're not born again, you'll be separated from God forever. But you know, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this. God is not willing that any should perish. It is God's will that everybody be saved. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. You know, God has given us the alternative to perishing. It's repentance. Mm-hmm. You say, well, I'm working on something. Well, that shows you haven't repented. You're working on something. No, you don't work on something, you repent. You know, so, well, I thought Jesus preached love and acceptance. No, he didn't. He preached the kingdom of God, saying, repent and believe. Repent and believe the gospel. Yeah. of the kingdom. He said, what he's doing is he's not condemning people. He's saying, look, they're already condemned. That's why he's here, to save them out of that condemnation. Repent from that. I've got something better for you. Something that eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them. But he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Ooh, that's a good verse. We'll get to that in a few minutes. The real you. These are the hidden things, the hidden realities of the new creation, of the life of God that's in you. This is something that you can investigate and look at. Every time you read the scripture, you're reading the word that recreated your spirit, and there should be an identity in that. You know, we talked about identity last week. Your identity is everything. Your identity in Christ is everything. It is every, you know, the word identity, it means that people associate, it's like, Phil works for Siemens. When he goes to a client firm, they don't really associate it with Phil. No, because they associate, he is Siemens to them. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? When you were born again, God commissioned you as an ambassador in this world to represent him, and people should associate you with Jesus. You know what that gives you? It gives you something called diplomatic immunity. Whoa! You know how the devil recognizes that? It says in Romans chapter 2. Do we have that one? Romans chapter 2? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew. We are grafted in to the family of Abraham and his blessing. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. When you were born again, there was an operation inside of you that the devil recognizes, and every demon in hell recognizes that. Every demon that walks on the earth, every angel that is assigned to you from heaven recognizes that mark that's in you, the circumcision of the spirit, where your heart is covenanted with God. It was a supernatural. In Colossians chapter 2, it calls it the operation of God, where he actually operated that on you and in your spirit man to reflect the blessing that he has commanded upon all those who believe in him. That is the circumcision in the spirit. Praise God. So when the devil sees you, he knows exactly who you are. All he wants to know is if you believe it. Because he's a con artist. And he'll try to talk you out of it. He'll say, yeah, you think you're that. No, I don't think that. I know that. You can be confident and assured of who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, all you can do in Christ, and where you are seated. You know, we have to identify, like Galatians chapter 2:20 says, That gives us our identity in Christ's death, that everything that we were died with him. Then in Romans chapter 6, I think it's verse 6, gives us our identity in Christ in the burial. That has been buried. There's been a funeral. There has been a wrapping up and throwing away of all of that stuff. Then we identify with Christ in his resurrection in Ephesians chapter 2 and other places, that we have been raised up together with Christ and made to sit together with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. Oh, you got to pray that prayer every single day in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. Pray that every day. If you can, do it 2 or 3 times a day. Pray that prayer, that you have been raised up together with Christ and made to be seated with Christ. This is good stuff. And then you identify with him in not only that, in his ascension and in his seating. God says you have been raised up together with him and seated with him. So there's 5 different areas there that we can identify with him. But too many people are identifying with what they are, who they were, what they did, and all the things of the old creation, which has no hold on you anymore. You are not there's a song we sang earlier, and I don't agree with some of it. I agree with a lot of it, but the thing is, he put me back together. No, he didn't. The old man is dead. He is gone. He didn't put you back together. He recreated you and made you brand new.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
But I know the idea and the spirit of that song is, I know what they're saying. But, and you know, you got to have artistic, poetic freedom, I guess, liberties. But the thing is, it's like, look, we've got to identify ourselves as brand new, totally recreated. And the language that Paul uses there, he who is in Christ is a new creation, that wording is so important because he didn't make you from things that already existed. He made you from things that didn't even exist. Materials that didn't even, you are a new species of being that never existed before. That's who you are in Christ. And and it happened so fast, the devil can't even catch up with it. Praise God. You getting anything out of it? You know, there's identity crisis. You know, when people have identity crisis, they forget who they are. They lose their meaning and purpose in life. They have an identity because who they are doesn't make sense anymore. They have this identity, so they try to fill themselves with everything that they think they should have been, and it gets them nowhere. All they're doing is trying to relive a past that is already defeated because they aren't. That's an identity crisis. We can identify with Christ who's already defeated the enemy, who's already given us all the victory and his crown as well to rule and reign with him in this world and in the world to come.
Amen.
Rule and reign.
Hallelujah.
First of all, you got to rule over yourself and reign over yourself. Then you can start ruling over demons and whatever, but you have already been raised up far above them.
Amen.
Apply the word and the devil runs.
Amen.
He did that in the wilderness with Jesus. Then there's identity theft. I wrote down some thoughts on that the other day. That means somebody has gotten into your stuff. They got your passwords and codes, and they assumed your identity. This is illegal. This is what a thief does. This is a wolf in sheep's clothing, I guess. And they now operate as if they were you. That's what identity theft is. They steal your money and your bank accounts. They liquidate and transfer your stock portfolios. Sometimes they can even get the title to your house and throw you out on your ear. And it's all illegal. But it's something that has been accepted because they are you as far as those establishments are concerned. Isn't that something? But now there's something to be learned in that as far as the gospel goes, because Jesus went to the cross, he became our legal substitute. Legal. This was all legal, out in the open, above board. He became our legal substitute, and he stood in for us and assumed our identity as a man, just like us. Then he went to the cross and became sin with our sin, and he never committed sin, but he was made to be sin with our sin, and it was totally legal because he accomplished it out in the open. He didn't steal your identity. He gave you the opportunity to relieve yourself of your identity and receive the identity that he reserved just for you.
Amen.
So if you have an identity crisis, just go back to Jesus. He has given you a new identity.
Yes.
He's given you a brand new identity. You're not the old man you were. You have nothing to do with that. And the devil tries to put it back on you and present some kind of a legal case that he doesn't even have. You say, devil, you don't have a case. It's done. He is the accuser. That doesn't mean he's going to succeed at it. He's the accuser. Yeah, you could say, and Jesus in the court, judge is your father. Jesus is your defense attorney. And Jesus stands up when you're on the stand and the devil's saying, you did this, you did this. And Jesus saying, just say this. Just say this. Just say this. Just say this. Say the word. Say the word. That I am justified by faith in Christ. That sin doesn't belong to me. It's been washed away by the blood. Whatever you say is a lie because you are a liar and the father of a devil. I have been freed by the blood of Jesus. I am speaking the word of God now to you. Therefore, the blood of God is activated. The Zoe life of God in me is now strengthened because I am speaking the word of God. I am doing the word of God, and I am standing in the truth that sets me free. Amen. You don't have a case. Dismissed. That's what your father will say that. He'll go, case dismissed. Next. The devil's a legalist. And he allows you to give him your sin. And he gives you his righteousness. And that can't be taken away from you. You're not made righteous because you do things right or because you don't sin. No, the righteousness has to do with your faith in God. And that breastplate of a Roman soldier never came off. They slept in it. It's the breastplate of righteousness. God. Renew your minds with these things. See, this is the seal of identity that you have been given as a child of God, that you have been circumcised in the Spirit, and God identifies with you.
Amen.
Okay, I want to get into something here, and then we'll get out of here. Everybody say this. I have the life of God in me. The word life throughout the Gospels and throughout the New Testament, primarily, really a lot of it is in John and letters of John. Paul uses it. Peter uses it too. The word life, which is translated eternal life, life eternal or life, is the word Z-O-E, Zoe. This cannot be overemphasized because this has to be the identity of the believer, is the life of God, the Zoe life. It means the life and nature of God. It's the substance of God. Zoe literally means the life and nature of God, and for lack of a better way, Zoe is the substance that is God. That's why they call it eternal life, because God is eternal, and this is his life. You say, well, I've looked that up before, and it just says it's natural human life, and so, no, turn to John chapter 5. In verse 26, it says this, as the Father has life in himself, so has he given the Son to have life in himself. This is the life of God. And has given him authority to execute judgment because he's the Son of God? No. Doesn't say that, does it? Where is the dominion? The dominion is with man. That's why Jesus had to have that physical body and be a man. Because he's the Son of Man, now he has the right to execute judgment. And he didn't, you notice he never judged people? He didn't say, I've not come to judge, but to save. What did he do? He came to judge demons, the devil, the enemy of man, the entity that got man into this thing in the first place. Execute judgment. And Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verses 27, 28. He said this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them what? Zoe. This is the life of God that he has in himself, that he gave Jesus, that is yours. This is the life of God, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, I love this. This is the life. This is the substance that makes God God, that is God, has been given to you. This is the life, nature, and power that recreated your spirit. It is the very essence of the Spirit of God. It is everything that God is. This is why the Pharisees hated him so much, because he said, if you believe in me, you'll have Zoe. You'll have the life and nature of God. It drove them nuts. They were so blocked up by religion and things that they had no right to do. You couldn't even say the name Yahweh. than them. I mean, they made up so many more rules than the Bible actually had that they got all tangled up in it and they limited themselves. And when Jesus came along, all they could do is hate him. Well, that kind of reminds us of our government. They are so balled up in their own corruption. When here comes Trump saying, we got to be America first, folks. And Obama did it. He complained 8 years about Bush. Right? Then Trump comes in within a year and a half. I mean, we had 4 years of peace, prosperity, and world peace. If that ruffles your feather, I'm just stating facts here. This is facts. And now the world is back. We've become a third world country. You know, Lori and I have been looking. We come back from the grocery store. You ever feel napkins now? You know, paper towels. They don't absorb anything. They just push stuff around. This has become a third world country. Our products have become so not quality. We need to get, but there is good days coming. We're going to get it back. Look at this. In John chapter 1, verse 4, we cannot overemphasize Zoe. John 1, 4 says, in him was Zoe, and the Zoe was the light of men. You know, in order to really understand this, you got to see something here. The word shine means to make manifest. Did you know, in order to understand this life, you got to understand light. The life is the light of men. Now, did you know that the sun shines light? Did you know that you can't see that light? You can't see light. You can only see what life reflects off of. You can only see what light reveals and exposes to the eye. You don't see light. You don't see actual light, right? Well, it's the same with the life that's in you. You don't actually see the life that's in you, but it's made manifest by your words, by your actions, by your thoughts. That life is revealed, and it starts to renew your mind. It starts to renew. You start speaking differently when you're saved, don't you? Yeah. Oh, I did. Yeah, I did. And then I'd make mistakes and go, I just said that. What did it say? God's going to be ticked. Or he's, I gotta go to my father. I messed up. God is more willing to forgive than we are to. I mean, we want to run and hide just like Adam did. And that should not be so. The life is the light of men. You can't see light. You can see what it reveals. And you can't see the life that's in you, but you can know it by what you do. You know, there, if you read through the letter of 1 John, it says, I don't want to go there because I'm opening up a whole thing. But it begins to manifest in the fruit of the Spirit, in love, in joy, in peace, in patience, in kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, mercy, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, it just starts to compound in you and multiply and multiply and multiply. You know, getting it off the ground is hard, but once it starts, the fruit starts dropping more seeds, and they reproduce after their own kind, and their own kind, their own kind. So after a while, you are so filled with love, you're so filled with joy, and most people want to put a bushel over that joy because it really rains on everybody's parade. And you ever, somebody is so joyful, you just want to slap them? Don't do that. Joy is contagious. Joy is one of the best witnesses that you have of the gospel of Jesus. That I once was lost, I'm saved, I am happy, but I don't have a concern about that. I'm not afraid to die. I don't want to do it today because I got stuff to do. But on the other hand, I'm not afraid of it. It does not hold my soul in bondage. You know, Hebrews 2:14 says, for as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, so he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that's the devil, and to deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to bondage. He uses fear of death to hold you in bondage. so that you don't do, so that you're afraid. Look, if he delivered you from the fear of death, he's delivered you from all bondage. Because the devil can't, he doesn't have an inroad there. Because there's no fear. You know, the resurrection, I'm going to save this for Easter, but the resurrection delivered us from the fear of death. Because we know that there is much more after this life. When you see the risen Christ. They saw him. They witnessed infallible proofs that made it real. Before I was born again, my vessel possessed me. How about you? Worries, cares, fears, vision, no vision at all. After I was born again, I learned, and I'm still learning, and it's a lifelong process to learn how to possess my vessel in honor, in patience, or endurance, and stand in this world strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, when you're strong in the Lord, what does that mean? You're strong in the Word. The Word is God. Amen. You're strong in the Word and in the power of his might. That's what Ephesians 3:16 says in Paul, in the Ephesian prayer. He said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Here's what I want to get to, and then we're going to close. How does that happen? How does it happen that the Holy Spirit strengthens you with might? That word might, by the way, is the word dunamis. Yeah, it's explosive power. Strengthen you with might by his Spirit in the inner man. How does that happen? How did Arnold Schwarzenegger get to be that strong man that he is? He exercised, right? Weights, training, weights, diets too. There was a lot of things involved in that. So do you get strong in might just sitting on the couch going, God help me. Oh, God help me. Lord, I know that you have something for me. I know that you can do all. Is that how you get strong? It's so simple. Look, we got a baseball team here. How do you get skilled and strong in baseball? By practice, by doing the same things over and over again. Do you know how your spirit gets strong? Well, it starts by praying in the Spirit. Amen. Praying in tongues strengthens your spirit. It brings strength. It says one who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That means to be built up, to be charged up, to be strengthened with might. The more you pray in tongues, the more might you're going to have. The more dunamis is going to have. And dunamis just isn't an outward thing where you lay hands. It's an inward thing where the dunamis can hit your mind, can hit your body, can hit your eyes and so forth. You know, I'm just... A door just opened up to me here while I'm speaking to you just now on this whole thing. But tongues, this is why devil fights tongues so much, because he doesn't want you strong. He doesn't want you to get revelation. You see, Paul prayed in tongues more than anybody else, right? It says that in the Word. He says, I prayed in tongues more than you all. And that means all of them put together. And you know what Paul also had? He had more revelation than anybody had too. There's a connection there. Praying in tongues and revelation knowledge. Praying in tongues and strength. This is spiritual strength. Praying in tongues is because you edify yourself. You build yourself up when you pray in tongues. There's pray in tongues. And when you get tired of praying in tongues, pray in tongues. And when you get tired of that, pray in tongues. You know, Kenneth Hagin did that one time. He said, I prayed in tongues for an hour, and the devil came. And he says, you know what you just did? You wasted a whole hour here? He said, just for that, I'm going to pray in tongues another hour, devil. Another hour came. He says, see, you're still wasting time. He said, just for that, I'm going to pray another 2 hours. 4 hours. And he says, oh, he said, glory to God, I struck oil. He hit a gusher and he got all kinds of revelation. He couldn't write fast enough. You know, he didn't have a computer like we have. This is back in the 50s. They didn't even have word processors back then. They didn't even have dictaphones. So, look, there's more going on in you. You've got the Zoe life of God in you. You've got His strength. You've got His name. You've got a new identity. You've got everything. You've been circumcised in this, that shows that you are a recipient of the blessing of Abraham. That whoever blesses you will be blessed. Whoever curses you will be cursed. Look, you have more going for you than you can possibly even imagine. Because of what Jesus did, because that word is filled with the blood, that blood is filled with the word. It activates everything that the new covenant has invested in it, and it becomes your inheritance.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That you can tap into it anytime you want, anytime you need it. You'll have the provision that is in that new covenant. And it was sealed with the blood.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, ooh, look at this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 says, "And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, Zoe. And this life is in His Son, and he that has the Son has life," has Zoe, has the nature of God, has the strength of God, has the power of God, has the life of God, has the ability of God living in them. Has the ability to prophesy and expect it to come to pass because it's lined up with the Word of God, and the Word of God will fulfill itself. And it will bring forth fruit after its own kind. Look, folks, you got to understand something about your words. Your words are so powerful. Whoops, what happened here? This is the record. What's a record? A record is something that's written. It will not be changed. This is the annals of heaven. You know, it says this. There are three who bear witness in heaven. The Word, the blood, and the Spirit. Yes. Amen. And those three are one. When you do the Word, you're activating the blood. The blood sealed the covenant and all the benefits of the covenant. The Word of God. When you do the Word of God, that is not, it's a small verse, but it is an eternity of stuff.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Is there any excitement in the house?
Yes. Yes.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and no man will pluck them out of my hands. Yes. Praise God. Yes. Praise God. They shall never perish. You know, it's not God's will for any to perish. Never. Are marriages perishing? Are people perishing? I had some statistics written down just the other day. In 2022, last year, 67.1 million people died. That came to like every second. There were 640 people, I think. Left the planet, most of them to an eternal hell. And a little more than twice of that entered the planet. I'm going to give you a short testimony and we're going to close. When God told me to go into the nursing home ministry when I was back at another church, I said, I can't. What I meant was, I won't. I was in a nursing home, and I was in the insurance business. I was doing a benefit plan for all the employees who were coming in and signing up and so forth. And this one, he was a janitor, he left. And I was waiting for this other one. She's the head of a nurse station up there. And there was this lady at the door right across from my open door in a walker like this. And she said, "Sir, can you let me out?" I said, "No, I can't let you out, lady." You know, I thought she was a resident. She said, no, you don't. And there's a code you have to push. So, and the nurse showed me what that code was. So she said, "No, you don't understand. I live across the street. I come here to visit." So I said, "Well, Okay, so I got up, pushed the code, and the nurse came over and said, she's dementia. And she's very smart, too. Well, let's put it this way. She's tactful. And I said, why didn't you tell me this? She goes, I just want to see if she could con you. You know, it's fun to watch because she's pretty slick. So about an hour later, I heard her down. There was this big bench where people would gather. The residents of the SNRP would gather. And I heard her say something. You know, they're trying to, this is your home. You belong here. And this was blood-curdling cry. It came from her heart. She says, you don't understand. I don't belong here. God, I was sitting, and his hand pressed me up against the wall like this. And I'm sitting by the Holy Spirit, and I go, he said, do you know how many hundreds of people like her are waking up in hell? And they don't belong there either. He said, and I've called you and I've anointed you to do something about that. Now, when are you going to obey me and do something about that? What was that? That was a revelation of what he wanted me to do. I had it in here. Well, he said that, and I said, I can't. He said, well, I didn't want that cross either, but I had to go do it.
Right.
You have a conversation with the Lord like that, I'm telling you, it changes you. And you get down to a foundational understanding of what's really important and what's not. That eternity's at stake for some people. And God has anointed you, 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 and you, and you to reach people. In the Walmart, in the parking lot, in somewhere where you see somebody struggling or with a frown on their face, they're scared. They don't know what tomorrow brings. Their finances are gone. Everything is so expensive and they don't know what's happening and they're scared. And you have the keys of the kingdom of God that can unlock the power that kicks in the gates of hell in their mind and can bring them the peace that they need. I don't know what this was, but I'm sure it's important. Got to know what you have. You have Zoe life. You have the Father and the Son living inside of you. These are things that we need to revisit. Again, and like I say, you can't over... These are the hidden realities that unless we focus on the Word and really meditate on them, we're not going to understand them. We're not going to walk in the reality of them. And we really need to start doing that. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah,
amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your Word. For your Word, which is the DNA of the very blood that saved us. We thank you, Father, for the Spirit of God that lives in us. And we repent from not listening. And we open up our ears to hear and our eyes to see and our heart to understand the importance of the moment that we are in Jesus' name. Father, you're wonderful. Help us. Remind us, like your Word says, that you will, the Spirit, when he's come, he will remind you, us, of what you said. Help us be instant in doing the Word and activating those covenant realities and those new creation realities. Thank you, Father, that we can walk and you walk in us. That we breathe and you breathe in us. That we see through the eyes of the Spirit. That we hear through the ears of our Savior. Thank you, Father, that we are one with you and you're one with us. We receive your blessing for this week to walk in the assurance of who we are in Christ, in our identity. That we haven't assumed that identity. You have given us your own identity as a joint heir with Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed. If you need any prayer, please come up. Our altar men.